Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shabbat Shalom. With the Lord's help, we'll start the study of the Gospel of Mark. And I would like you all to open the Bible to the book of Mark, the Gospel that is written by Yohanan Markos. This is John Mark. And I would like basically, beloved brothers and sisters, in this ministry meeting today, just to begin with the introduction to the Gospel of Mark. Over the years, we have learned from reading the Brit HaChadashah, that is the New Covenant, that God had given to us, obviously, four records of this one single story of the birth, life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. And in those fourfold, you might say, records that was written about the Messiah, Yeshua, we learn many things about this person of the Messiah. We learn about the reason of his coming. We learn about his life here on earth. We learn about his substitutionary death. And we learn, of course, about his resurrection and ascension and the promise that he will come again. And just by way of introduction, when you start a new book or a new letter or a new epistle, or in this case, a new gospel, I want to just read at least the first verse so we will get into that gospel. But I find it fascinating as I'm reading this gospel to find out a little bit more than what we have known before about the person of Israel's promised Messiah, Yeshua, and the Savior of this world. In the beginning of the Gospel, Mark chapter 1, and just verse 1, it says here, the beginning of the Gospel of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Son of God. Jesus, the Messiah, Ben Elohim, the Son of God. And I'm just going to stop here at this moment with the reading of the first verse of Mark chapter 1. You know, reading the Bible, you find out that in the Word of God, in the Tanakh, that is the Old Covenant, and in the Brit HaChadashah, that is the New Covenant, we have four books that begin with the word beginning. You notice very well that in the book of Genesis, we read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In Hebrew, the word beginning is Bereshit. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Secondly, of course, it's right found here in the Gospel of Mark. And in the Gospel of Mark, we find out the beginning of the Gospel of Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. This is the second book in the Scripture where the word beginning is mentioned. Thirdly, when we turn to the Gospel of John, there also John the Evangelist gave us as well, right at the start of his Gospel, and he wrote, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Genesis 1:1, Mark 1:1, Yohanan, John 1:1. But it's not only there in the first book of the Bible or the two Gospels, Mark and John, but even John, once again, he later on in his life, he wrote the epistles of John. And you remember what he wrote in 1 John 1? He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled the word of life. So when you really learn in the Word of God, you find out that there are four books in the Tanakh and Brit HaChadashah, which all gave us the word that which was from the beginning, or in the beginning, Bereshit, right in the beginning. Of course, every one of these books emphasizes more one thing or another. For example, John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That takes us all the way to eternity past. Before creation, before man was created, before Adam in the Garden of Eden, he takes us all the way to the eternity past, and he tells us there was one who was there in eternity past. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And of course, secondly, we have in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That takes us to creation. It takes us to a time and a season, about 6,000 years from our vantage point of time, to the time where God had created the heavens and the earth to make it suitable for his own creation. And of course, you know what happened. It didn't take too long, and men sinned in the Garden of Eden. Adam have plunged the whole human race into sin. And from that time on, God gave his people Israel, our nation of old, and the whole world, a promise that one day the Messiah will come. And when he's going to come, he will have a beginning, not a beginning to his eternal personhood, namely God the Son, but he will be born here into this world, and he will have a beginning here on earth as a lowly man, as a suffering servant of Jehovah, who will come to this world to redeem mankind. And that's where Mark chapter 1 began, with the beginning of the gospel of Yeshua HaMashiach ben Elohim, of Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. And then John in his epistle developed that, and he says, we have handled him. He was from the beginning. We have touched him. We have walked with him. We have spoken with him. We have heard his voice. We have handled him. He was the Word of life. He was the Messiah that came into this world. So it is fascinating, brothers and sisters, four books in the Bible use the word Bereshit or Reshit, or in the beginning, in one word or another, in the Hebrew or the Greek, to suggest that there was here something that I'm telling you about a beginning. Of course, John chapter 1, it takes us to no time at all, because it takes us to eternity past. Whatever beginning you're going to put, he, the Messiah, he, God the Son, was already there. He is the creator of all things. That's the first point that I wanted to mention to you about the Gospel of Mark. Secondly, I want to mention, beloved brothers and sisters, which I find it extremely interesting. Many people ask the question, why didn't God give us only one single Gospel? He could have given us the Gospel according to the record of Matthew. Or he could have given us the Gospel according to the record that Yohanan, that is John, would give us. Or he could give us the Gospel according to the testimony of Lucas that is found here as well. But why did he give us four Gospels? If you'll ask and you will read a little bit about this, you will find out that many Bible teachers will tell us that Matthew was written to our own Jewish people, because in the Gospel of Matthew you have the genealogy of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, who was a descendant of Abraham through David, and he was eventually born to the family of David, to the tribe of Judah. That's why they often say that Matityahu or Matthai, the Gospel of Matthew, was written to zero in on the Jewish people's need. Then others also suggest that the book of Luke was written in order to zero in on the needs of the Greeks, who needed to know concerning a man that came to this world, and to them they needed to read it from Luke's perspective. And of course, the Gospel of John, oftentimes we are told that it was written for the whole general community of the world to understand that Jesus, that was born to the Jewish people in the land of Israel, was actually the Son of God. And of course, Mark is being written for us, and many will tell us that it was written for the Romans, who needed as well to see the simplicity in which this person is being presented before them. And that's why Bible teachers usually say Matthew was written to the Jewish people, Mark was written for the Romans, Luke was written for the Greeks, and of course, Yohanan, that is John, was written to the general population to let all know who Yeshua was, that he was more than just another man. And while it is true, and it is indeed true, that there is, you might say, a slant. Matthew is presenting him to the Jewish people, Mark to the Romans, and Luke to the Greeks, and so on. But I would like to suggest that we cannot do without any or one of those Gospels, because really, God wanted to present before us all, and to present before Israel, who were waiting for the Messiah, to present before them his son from four different points of view. He wanted to present him because, after all, beloved brothers and sisters, this man by the name of Yeshua, namely in Greek Jesus, English Jesus, in Hebrew we call him Yeshua, this Yeshua was the one who was the eternal Son of God. He's going to enter into this world to provide salvation for all humanity. And therefore, those four men gave us four records about one single person whose name is Yeshua, the Son of God. And everyone present before us the person of the Lord from a different perspective. For example, Matthew will present him as the King of the Jews. You remember, if you turn for a moment to Matthew chapter 2, look at what it says. When the Magi, or the wise men, came from the east, when they came to the land of Israel, they asked this very interesting question: where is he that was born the King of the Jews? Melech HaYehudim. Where is that one that was born the King of the Jews? And God wanted to present before us Yeshua the Messiah as the King that was promised to come. He was promised to come from the family of Abraham. That's why the whole book of Matthew began with the genealogy of Yeshua the Messiah. If you look at chapter 1 and verse 1, it says the book of the generation of Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, Ben David, son of David and son of Abraham. He is the King that is coming, that was promised to come, the Mashiach, the Messiah of Israel. He is a descendant of Abraham, he is a descendant of David, and he is the one that all the world search for him. Where is he that was born the King of the Jews? Now we're going to jump over Mark for a moment. And if you turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, I want you to notice that the Gospel of Luke, we have another genealogy. But the genealogy does not found itself in the first chapter. It is actually in the third chapter. And this genealogy is taking us all the way, not only to Abraham, to Avraham Avinu, Abraham our father, but the genealogy in the Gospel of Luke present before us the fact that Yeshua, the Messiah, is not only the son of Abraham and the son of David, but he is the son of Adam. He is a descendant that came all the way from Adam, who was created in the garden. You notice in Luke chapter 3, it says in verse 23, and Yeshua himself began to be 30 years of age, being, it says, as it was supposed, the son of Yosef, which was the son of Eli, which was the son of Matat, which was the son of Levi, and he takes us all the way to the end of the chapter, and in verse 38 it says, which was the son of Enosh, which was the son of Shet, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. And so, while in the Gospel of Matthew, God presents Yeshua as the Mashiach of Israel, the King of the Jews, in the Gospel of Luke, he presents him as the Son of Man, as a sinless man, as a perfect man, who came, we call him in Hebrew, Ben Ha'adam, a son of Adam, who is a descendant of Adam, who is a real human being that was born to the Virgin Miriam, sin apart, in a miraculous way he was born to the Virgin Miriam. That's what Luke represents, and that's why in Luke 19 and verse 10, we read that the Son of Man, Ben Ha'adam, came to seek and to save that which was lost. So in Matthew, we have him as the Mashiach of Israel, the King of the Jews. In Luke, the Lord presents him as a son of man, as a human being who came from heaven to seek and to save that which were lost. But then I'm jumping still once again over the Gospel of Mark, and I'm going to the Gospel of John. And in John chapter 1, beloved brothers and sisters, we read, and I would like just to read these verses for the whole context of the teaching on the introduction to the book of Mark. You will notice that in the gospel that Yohanan, that is John, wrote for us, there we really not even going back to any genealogy whatsoever. Why we don't have genealogy in the Gospel of John? Because the creator of heaven and earth, the sustainer of all things, have no genealogy. He never had a beginning. He never needed to be created. He created everything else. He's the creator. And that's why John began. In the beginning was the Word. How many years do you want to put here? 1,000 years? He was there. 10,000 years? He was there. Million years? He was already there. Billion years? In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. In Hebrew we call it the Mimra, the one through whom God spoke and speaks all the time in the person of the Messiah, of His Son. In the beginning was the Word, but He doesn't stop there, John, Yohanan. He said that the Word was with God. He's a distinct person in the Godhead. The Word was there, and He was with God. And then he adds, and he says, wait a minute. That Word that was with God, he says in verse 1 at the end, and the Word was God. You see, he's really zeroing in, Yohanan. He's telling us, listen, the King of the Jews that Matthew represents, and the perfect man that Luke spoke about is none else but the eternal Son of God. And that's why you notice in John chapter 1, it says in verse 3, all things were made by him. And without him there was nothing made which was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. So you see, beloved brothers and sisters, he is the eternal Son of God, who is the King of the Jews, but he was born as a man like other men, sin apart, for the purpose of becoming the Savior, because the Son of Man, Ben Ha'adam, came to seek and to save that which were lost. We were all lost. We had no hope. We were all had the disease called sin. In sin did my mother conceive me, the king of Israel, David said many years ago. I was shapen in iniquity, David said. Isaiah says, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. Peter said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Shaul, Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. That's you, that's me. We all needed the Messiah to come. But you see, the Gospel of Mark gives us another important, you might say, slant or presentation. He is not only the God of the universe. He is not only the perfect man that was born, as Luke said. He is not only the promised Mashiach of our own nation, Israel, who is one day going to reign as king, the king of the Jews, the king of Israel, the king of the whole universe. But the Gospel of Mark present him as a servant. Oh, and that's ought to move our hearts. Because here, can you imagine that the creator of the universe was willing to become a man, and yet he postponed his future becoming king of Israel and over the nations of the world, and he was willing to become a servant. In Hebrew, we call him Eved Adonai, the servant of the Lord. Mark is presenting before us the fact that Yeshua became a servant. Mesharet, or Eved, you know, we don't like to serve many times. We like to be served. But here is one who should be served, who became a servant of us all, in that he came for the express purpose to become the Savior of the world. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 42, the prophet that prophesies to our nation Israel some 750 years before Yeshua the Messiah came. Isaiah said in chapter 42, listen to that, how the whole 42nd chapter began. God says to Israel, presenting before our own nation Israel the Messiah, and he said to the nation of Israel, behold my servant. In Hebrew, hine avdi. Behold my servant, whom I uphold. Mine elect, I have chosen him. He is my sole delight. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring justice to the Gentiles, to the Goyim. And of course, he continued to speak about this wonderful person who is the servant of the Lord, the servant of Jehovah. Notice in chapter 49 of the prophet Isaiah, one more verse to read. In verses 5 and 6, he said, and now sayest the Lord that formed me from my womb. This is the servant speaking. As a man who is a servant, the Messiah, Yeshua, is speaking, and he said, and now says, the Lord had formed me from my womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again unto him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of Jehovah, in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Notice verse 6, and he said, it is a light thing that thou should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light unto the Gentiles, or Lagoim, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. So the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob spoke to the nation, to our own people, Israel, many, many years ago, 2,700 years ago, telling to Isaiah to tell Israel that there is a servant who is coming. And that servant is not going to only deal with the nation of Israel, but he's going to be light to the Gentiles, that you may be my salvation unto the end of the earth. In other words, the purpose and the reason that Yeshua the Messiah came is in order to bring salvation, Yeshua. And you shall call his name Yeshua, for he will save, Yoshia, he will save his people from their sins. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, as we look together to the Gospel of Mark, or to the presentation of this man by the name of Mark, of the person of Yeshua, we realize that God does not repeat himself. God is not saying things again and again, you might say, without a reason for that. But God is presenting the Mashiach, the Messiah, Yeshua himself, from four different, you might say, points of outlook. He is God, he is a perfect man, he is the King of Israel, and he is the servant of the Lord. And you know why it is important to study about the servant of the Lord? You know why? Because all of us in service failed. Even Moses will tell you, God, I have failed. Even Paul will say, I have failed. I sought to live godly, I sought to be faithful, but I have failed. But there is one man that never failed. His name is Jesus. His name is Yeshua, who was born and honored God from his birth until his resurrection and ascension. He honored God in everything that he did here on earth. So now, after giving this kind of by way of introduction, I want to kind of share with you a little bit about this man by the name of Mark. Who is this man by the name of Mark? This man, in fact, I would like you please to turn with me to Acts chapter 12. This man that wrote the book of Mark, his name is Marcos. He was a Jewish Israeli man who lived in the city of Jerusalem. We find his name first mentioned in the book of Acts in chapter 12. If you please turn with me to this passage, I thought it is very important to tell us a little bit about the writer. I mean, the writer writes a gospel, you might say, a perspective about Yeshua the Messiah by divine inspiration. But who is this person? Well, we find out, notice that in Acts chapter 12, if you remember, that Peter was placed in prison. And when Peter was placed in prison, the local assembly, congregation, Kehillah, the local church, we might say, Ecclesia in Israel, in Jerusalem, was found in the house of Mark's mother.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.